If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS connects you with podcasts, videos, and live experiences about the artists and topics you love. Visit OSIRISPod.com to check out our shows. In fact, you should check out No Simple Road or Inside Out with Turner and Seth. Both are great shows. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. For more, check them out at jambase.com. The show starts now.
Touching bullets much too nearly. Eastside.
You've been listening to Upswing from Perpetual Groove's forthcoming self-titled record due out May 17th. Perpetual Groove are a band that have been in the jam band scene for quite some time, but it's been a decade since we've had any new music from them. That's of course due in large part to their two-year performance hiatus and, well, just a lot of other stuff that the guys needed to attend to. But they are back, and the new record is everything you'd expect from the boys, complete with great songwriting, terrific playing, and as you'll soon hear, a bunch of instrument fun in the studio. We recently caught up with Matt McDonald to talk about the new record and the band's plans moving forward. Our conversation started when I asked Matt about the tumultuous decade in between records and wondered why they went on hiatus.
You know, unfortunately, it's just some passe rock and roll BS at the end of the day. You know, a little bit embarrassing in hindsight. But, you know, each of us had things to address in our individual lives. And I think after grinding from 2002 to 2013, it was just time for a little bit of a break. And since we've come back, you know, it was definitely the right move. You know, we've been more productive than ever. It gave all of us a chance to do some other endeavors that we were looking at, not just musically, but in other aspects of our lives. But musically as well, especially, you know, we did a lot of different things. And I think that the new album speaks to the experience that was gained during the break and our collective confidence as songwriters in that time.
You guys have always, you know, since you formed back in 97 and then, you know, you mentioned 2002, but you guys have always pushed the envelope in terms of what was possible for a band that, while part of the quote-unquote jam band community, really pushed the envelope, infusing, you know, indie rock and synth loops, and doing a whole bunch of other things that weren't traditionally at that time part of the jam band vernacular. Is that something that you guys are proud of, that your sound was so unique at the time?
Yeah, super proud of that. Proud of that most probably. On the new album, I think we finally get to really showcase that as well. It wasn't ever done with intent. It was just what happened when we got together. And, you know, we've always focused a lot, especially in the more recent years, we've focused more on songwriting. And in the jam scene, you know, it's definitely about the jam. You know, it's about the places that the jam goes, this relationship that's pretty symbiotic with the band and the audience, you know, driving each other to new places. And we embrace and love that. But we also are all four of us are big fans of songwriting and the craft of writing a song, you know, like with hooks and these melodies that stay with you. You know, you're going to experience a jam. You're probably not going to sing along with a jam unless you listen to that jam a bunch of times and just know every nuance of every section, you know.
Yeah.
But you're going to sing along with the chorus, or there's going to be that one guitar note after the bridge that, like, just makes the song, you know. And so we've always, like I said, especially in recent years, we've been really focusing on the songwriting because we know that, or we feel that that's more of our strong suit. You know, we enjoy jamming, and, you know, it's obviously part of the whole thing. We really get off on writing songs that help us get to that place. I really take a lot of pride, actually, in the songwriting aspect of it. You know, I feel like those are the things that are going to last long after we're gone, are the songs themselves, you know? Go ahead.
Are Brock and Adam still at the focus of the lyrics, or is it something that you have all collaborated on for this record and past records?
Brock and Adam are still definitely the as far as lyrics go, the two that do the majority of the lyrics. They're both really great at suggestions. You know, Albert holds down the drums and has a lot of really great ideas there. My strong point, and I think what I bring to the table most with the band, is arranging and kind of taking all these ideas and parts that we have and putting them into a place that they all work together.
Right.
On this last album, it was great to kind of have a team in that department with our producers. so it was with this new album, we were very intent from the moment that we decided to do it, that we wanted actual producer, and it ended up being two really great producers, but in the studio with us, kind of having that, you know, view from 30,000 feet of what's best for the song and letting the song guide the way instead of our egos, or I've got this part that's really great that I want to make sure gets in there. You know, like, I think some of our past albums suffered from the democratic process a little bit. So to have a producer come in as, you know, the king of the hill, definitely helped us craft these things and listen to what the song was telling us, what was best, you know?
That's a very mature approach, and probably something that took you guys some time away from each other to kind of get to, in terms of understanding that you needed help to craft a more cohesive record and make sure that, you know, while everybody would still have a part to play in the album's creation, you know, it wasn't necessarily about just fitting in everybody's part, but making sure that it was tasteful and in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, there was tons of stuff that was left on the cutting room floor, which is great because we still have all sorts of great ideas to pull from for future stuff. But most importantly, like you said, it was, you know, you said mature, and I appreciate that. We're also not kids anymore, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 44. Everyone's getting in their 40s and stuff now, so. I think just in our own personal development, have gotten to a place where we're out of our own way, you know. That whole struggle with the ego thing, I feel like we all kind of crossed in our late 30s and mid 30s, and that's part of the enthusiasm that brings us back together now, is that we're all kind of stoked for the ride at this point, instead of worrying about the manner in which we get to the destination. You know, there used to be a lot of focus on every aspect of it, and whereas now everyone shows up and they're like, man, I would have never thought to try that part. That's fantastic. Or that sucks. Let's do something else. You know, and not have somebody get emotional about it. There's no emotional baggage that gets carried into the songwriting process anymore. You got to learn to let go of things as quickly as you learn to embrace new things.
I'm so glad that you mentioned the community, because, you know, the jam scene really is about the larger community, and then each of these bands having their own community. And I know that, you know, from the start, pgroove.net was a place where people could go to Talking in Place and share either tour experiences or experiences with your music, or just share life with one another. And that remains a focus for you guys, especially on the revamped website. How important is your fans and being, you know, them being so into keeping up with you guys even through the hiatus?
I mean, it's not hyperbole to say that you owe any band, and especially us, like everyone else, you owe everything to the fans. Without the fans, there's no career, there's no albums, there's no touring. There's none of this happens without them. So we were lucky to have, you know, with Talking in Place being back, we've been waiting to do that the right way, because when we took the break, you know, all the website and all that stuff kind of went down. But even when that happened, some of the fans started a Talking in Place group on Facebook as well to keep it alive. So we just relaunched Talking in Place on the website a couple months ago, leading up to the album, and it's been great to see it back. We have a pretty solid rule now with the band that we don't spend a lot of time on there. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, how the struggle with your own ego already, and then you're gonna read stuff about you, you know, why it seems kind of weird to do that. But we have found, like, we have a marketing director now who does all the social media stuff, and he's really great as a filter to get the stuff that matters from the fans to the band. Of course, most of the stuff is the face-to-face interactions that we get to have with fans on the road and stuff like that. But you know, if there's some song ideas or requests for a set list, it's like, he thinks it's like, wow, that's actually a pretty exceptional idea. It makes its way to us. And so, you know, I could go on and on about how great the fan base is. But like you said, it's a shared community. You know, people can go from P Group show to a Carl Denson show to a Panic show. You know, there's a whole wide range. And from the String Dusters, there's all these great bands around. Andy Prasco, you know, that's something totally out of left field for this scene. But yet, you know, he's like becoming the Howard Stern of our jam community, you know,
sure,
in a way.
For
you know,
sure.
Just wild and opening up people to all new sorts of music. So we consider ourselves very fortunate to be part of it at all, you know, and be in the discussion.
You know, when you left us as a band, you know, social media probably wasn't as monstrous as it is now. And you did, you know, aside from pioneering a certain jam scene sound, you did pioneer this idea of social community online. So it's pretty impressive that it's stood the test of time and that you still have fans who are eager to contribute to what you guys are doing in that way. Let's talk about the jam scene. You mentioned Frasco and you mentioned Panic, who, you know, have been stalwarts since forever. Are you impressed that it's sort of has a bit of a renaissance now, the jam scene, in terms of a larger group of musicians and bands being part of it, and also, and I say this cautiously as to not offend anybody, but the older generation of jam bands that, you know, have been around and have seen the emergence of the scene. What's your take on what's going on now?
I mean, it's more people tuning in to all these different kinds of music is always a good thing. You know, if there's more people coming to shows and festivals, I think that's more people getting in touch with something that might be new to them, in the sense of the community that's around all this music. So I think that's always a good thing. I think it opens people's minds. I think it makes the whole culture more accepting and tolerant and open to new ideas and new experiences, new culture, like I said, new cultures in our own. As far as like Panic and Dead and those guys, I mean, they're pretty inspiring to keep doing it all these years and to do it, to bring a quality product to the fore. I think that Dead and Company helped bring a lot of stuff that way. I think John Mayer, obviously, you know, he blew me away at Bonnaroo, like, what was it, Bonnaroo 5, I think, where he sat in with Herbie Hancock, and I was like, whoa, I didn't know this, you know, Your Body is a Wonderland guy had chops like this. And you know, that's you know, that was 14 years ago. So yeah. I think that probably helps bring in a bigger net. I know that the Dead itself has become almost a fashion statement, you know, in a good way.
Yeah.
Especially, I can't help but notice when I'm up in Brooklyn and stuff like that, how many Grateful Dead tie-dyes are, you know, on the streets of Williamsburg, you know,
right,
which that was definitely not the case 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's all been a really positive, good thing. The bigger the scene gets, I think, you know, the kinder people are, in a way. I think it opens up people's minds and experiences to new things. And like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
We'll get back to our chat with Matt McDonald in just a few, but I wanted to make sure I told you about a really great contest the band has going on at pgroove.net. In fact, it's super easy for you to take home a copy of the new record on vinyl. Just head over to pgroove.net/vinyl-contest and enter your email address. That's it. The contest closes June 4th, 2019 at 12:01 a.m. You can enter as many times as you want, but only once per day. And you'll get a bonus entry if you share the link provided and someone else submits their email using your link. So, share away. The winner will be randomly selected from all the entries. The winner will also be notified via email, so don't be silly and create a whole bunch of fake accounts that you forget the password to. I can tell you firsthand that this record, the band since 2009's Heal, is amazing. The band is set to get on the road in the fall, and you can learn more about everything you need to know about Perpetual Groove at pgroove.net. Now, let's get back to the show. May 17th, Perpetual Groove will release the self-titled new album, Perpetual Groove. We talked a bit about the making of the record. Are there one or two songs that you can point to that you're most proud of on this record? I've had a chance to listen to it, and I find the whole thing really fresh and really exciting. But are there one or two songs that you're most proud of on the record?
It's a tricky question because I really have found in the last couple months since, you know, the masters and everything that we got on our end, and, you know, going through these mixes for the past close to a year now, I find that the start to finish experience is exactly what we were going for. I love the way the album ends. And if you're listening on, you know, mobile device, the way it cycles back to the beginning is just one of my favorite things. We were really cautious and aware of that, that experience. But the two songs, it's tough. I mean, it could change on any given day. The mm-hmm. one that is going to be a constant is the song Down In, which Adam really wrote the bones on that one in a big way. And his original demo was incredibly moving, and I couldn't be happier with where that one ended as a song as a whole. I've got some personal... the song Down In is about a good friend of ours, Chris Downing, who passed away pretty unexpectedly in late 2017. And Chris was on our team. He toured with us when we did the Surround Sound tour. He was one of the riggers for us, but he went on for years and years. He was on the road with us, and he had gotten married and got a house and kind of more of a normal job, if you will. So he hadn't been on the road with us for several years, but we remained super close friends, and we all share the same larger group of friends. So that song's all about Chris, and some of my favorite lyrics that Adam's ever done. And then sonically on that one, we recorded at the Fidelitorium in North Carolina is where we did the initial recording process. We finished up at another place in Roswell, Georgia. Mm-hmm. But all the bones were done at this place called the Fidelitorium in Kernersville, North Carolina, which is owned by a fellow named Mitch Easter. And Mitch Easter was the producer on some of the early REM albums, Murmur and Reckoning and stuff like that. And just a super cool guy. He wasn't our producer, but he owned the place and was there. And he was also in a band called Let's Active, which if you're not familiar with Let's Active, it's like one of my favorite 80s, you know, shimmering guitar post-punk bands ever. Fantastic. But he had all these crazy instruments that were some of them very vintage, some of them not so vintage, but all just really cool, neat stuff loaded up in the studio and like set up ready to play. So he had this old Chamberlain and this old Selena, which are these old keyboards that were kind of used for silent movie soundtracking. Huh. So they have like strings and tapes, kind of like a Mellotron. Mm-hmm. And so sonically for Down In, like all the string and kind of piano sounds that you hear are those instruments that I was using in the studio. So I'd never gotten to really sit down and spend days with instruments like that. So that song really kind of showcased all we were able to do with all these new toys in a sonic sense. And it helped, it drove us to completely new places in the songwriting. So Down In's always going to be a highlight for me. Break the Silence was one of the few that we just full on hit from the floor of the studio, like, you know, hit the record button and go. So I like the energy that's captured on that one, for sure. But, you know, it's, of course, as the artist, you know, well, I love the whole album, but really the way the whole thing flows, is kind of like, I feel like the experience is the album.
Yeah.
But then again, like Upswing was the first official single, and, you know, Brock Adam and I shot that lyric video in Adam's basement. So it's like, that helped open up some new avenues of creativity for us. And then Spirit Bear, which was the second single, just came out a week ago. That was our first kind of pro concept video that we've done with an actual video production team and everything like that.
Oh my God.
And that was a really...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go ahead first, and then I'll comment on it after. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that was our first experience. And we had an idea, you know, for the Spirit Bear video, and the video team was like, that's a great idea. How about this as well? Or, you know, building on that, how about we do it this way? Because we had like this idea of puppets and, you know, a transition of you know, black and white to color and all this stuff. And they're like, we think we can do it in one shot with you guys, run things in reverse. And that was just a crazy cool experience. You know, we'd never done anything like that. And, you know, it took one whole day in Athens. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's one steady shot is the whole video.
That's amazing.
So we all, you know, Brock and Adam went to SCAD, and all of us are movie nerds and film buffs. So anything that kind of gives a David Lynch-y feel to it, we're in 100%. So that was a first. But I think the Dominar Films folks that we worked with out of Athens, I think we're going to be doing some more with them in the not too distant future. Hopefully another one for this album, maybe for fall. But yeah, they are fantastic, man.
It's just so creepy. It really is. And I was trying to think, like, is this an Air Force base town? Like, where is this, like, weird street? Yeah. Like, it's so creepy. Yeah. It's so desolate and ugh. And the black and white doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. I'm sure, you know, at the end of the video when everything goes color.
Yeah, of course.
You can see just how brightly colored those houses all are. That's one of the kind of student housing neighborhoods in Athens that's just tucked away. And, you know, the film company got the permit to shut the street down for that day. And so we were able to, you know, shoot in this really cool student housing neighborhood, you know.
Yeah,
it was just perfect with all the colors, you know. So.
Yeah, it has this it has an OK Go feel to it. And I guess because it's just, you know, one shoot and it's head on and then there's color emerges from it all. But it's... Seriously, we'll provide a link in the show notes for people who want to see this video, because it's fascinating and it's really well done. So kudos to you and the team that did the video, and I can't wait to see more stuff from Dominar Films. It's great.
I was going to say, if you get a chance to check out their website, they've done some really incredible videos for bands like Don Bronco and a couple other metal bands out of Italy that they've won like these MTV Music Awards in Europe for. They really, all their videos, whether you know the artist or not, are all really engaging and cool. Their specialty is definitely After Effects, and they crush it for sure.
It's great stuff. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
You are going to be touring this record, which is very exciting for everybody. You're not new to the touring game, but given how much work went into the production of this record in the studio, are those things that you're going to be able to recapture in a live setting, all the bells and whistles from the studio and such?
Yeah, we've been, you know, we started playing, I think we're playing 3 of the 7 songs live now. It's basically the singles and Break the Silence that we were touring this past tour that we just did. We started playing those. And, you know, we're able to. I use Ableton. I always have. Almost my entire key rig now is coming off my computer. Even the organic sounds like Rhodes and piano and everything is software that I use. So some of the bells and whistles we're able to tastefully tuck in there, you know, with tracks and stuff like that that help fill the sound. But at the end of the day, we're not wanting to play the album how the album is, you know, precisely. So, that's what's kind of great about this one is like, it's almost a roadmap to what's going to be next for these songs, as opposed to, hey, we're going to go out and play these songs and we're going to road test them and then we're going to go record them in the studio. This time we're kind of starting we're reverse engineering in a way. So these things will start to naturally jam where they're supposed to, as we play them more live. I think there's a couple on there that are going to turn into real beast in the live setting too. As far as exploration and, you know, doing the jam thing, you know.
Of course, people will be able to hear things like 3 Weeks and Teakwood Bats and, you know, Walking in Place and Upswing, obviously, Naive Melody. All the songs that we know from you guys and have loved for so many years will also be, of course, part of the sets moving forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Some things might get a little bit more of a rest than they've gotten in a few years because we have all this new material that we want to play. There's also a couple songs that didn't make the final of the album that we want to start playing as well that are new. But yeah, I mean, Fish didn't stop playing You Enjoy Myself for entire years at a time. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, some of the classics will always be there, man, you know. But we're really lucky that our fan base is very eager to hear the new stuff.
Totally.
Which is a really great feeling, you know. I don't think anyone's gonna be upset if 3 weeks takes a short hiatus for a minute.
So. Thanks so much for taking the time, Matt. Really appreciate it. It's great to have you guys back, and it really is a beautiful record, one that we're psyched for people to hear next week, and continued success. We're glad you're back, and we look forward to the dates in the fall.
Ira, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it. It's nice talking with you.
A savvy veteran of the scene with some great stories around how the band got their groove back and indeed what lies in store. It's pretty neat that he could give us a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the record and some details around their two new videos that are superb. For more on Perpetual Groove, visit pgroove.net. Before we leave you, have a listen to another great track off the record. Here is Spirit Bear.
Anyone but me.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.